Now, let's talk a little bit about the HECM, home equity conversion mortgage, reverse mortgage. Now, once more, this is an FHA program. So this really falls into the FHA guidelines here. With the HECM loan, again, you know, a lot of times people have this misconception about the usefulness of a reverse mortgage. Just like any type of loan program, really depends on the circumstances of the borrower, doesn't it? If you've got an older borrower, 62 years of age or older, the reverse mortgage, of course, allows them to pull the equity from their house without having to make a repayment so long as they live in the house. The benefit of the HECM, the home equity conversion mortgage, is that it's insured by the FHA. And for sure, the commercials you see on television with some of the older actors and actresses that are pitching reverse mortgages, they're pitching the FHA's version of this. Right? There is a single purpose reverse mortgage, which is usually offered up by nonprofit agencies or local governmental agencies, where an elderly borrower could take the equity from their house or some equity from their house to fix up the roof or the garage or a single purpose and not have to pay it back. And those are generally, you know, less expensive types of loans because it's not set up usually as a line of credit where there's continual draws from the equity. It's something that's specifically targeted for a use, a single purpose use. The flip side of that is a third type, which is called proprietary reverse mortgage loans. These are private lenders that charge a lot of money, usually to borrowers who can't use a home equity conversion mortgage. Oftentimes it's because they're trying to pull more equity than the FHA would allow. Because with the HECM, with the FHA, they typically will limit you to about 60% of the value of the property. So as an example, guys, if your property is valued at $200,000, a HECM, generally speaking, will allow you to draw about $120,000 against the $200,000 value. So you do have to have equity to draw it. If your home was worth $200,000 and you owed $180,000 on it currently in your forward mortgage, then you've got no equity to draw. But let me say this, if your home was worth $200,000 and you owed $100,000 against it, you've got a current first mortgage, and your first mortgage payment every month, let's say it's $1,200 a month. You've got equity. You got $100,000 worth of equity there. You're at a 50% loan to value. You could, and this is one of the uses we see with reverse mortgages, you could, as an older borrower, refinance your existing first mortgage of $100,000 into a new reverse mortgage of $100,000, and your $1,200 a month payment stops. You just created $1,200 a month of cash flow for yourself that no longer has to go toward your mortgage. You don't have a mortgage payment anymore. Now, of course, with a reverse mortgage, the way that it works is every month, whatever your balance is, interest accrues. And it's added to your balance. So your balance will go up slowly but surely. You don't have to make payments as long as you live in the house, though. If you sell the house, the collateral that you had to secure that loan is no longer the collateral, so they require you to settle up the debt. This is no different than a forward mortgage, right? Same scenario that I showed you. If you owned a home that was worth $200,000 and you had a $100,000 first mortgage on it and you sold the house, guess what the mortgage company is going to expect? They're going to expect that you pay them. And typically you would pay them from the proceeds of the sale of your house, right? You just sold the house for $200,000. The mortgage company would be settled up, the $100,000 that you owed them. It's no different with a reverse mortgage. If you've got a $100,000 reverse mortgage balance and you sell the house for 200 grand, the reverse mortgage lender settled up. And then good news is you get to keep whatever's left over. One of the more confusing things is the mortgage is due and payable if you die. Right? When the last surviving homeowner dies, the mortgage is due and payable. And people scratch their head at that and go, I don't understand. How am I supposed to pay my mortgage off if I'm dead? And I don't even say that tongue in cheek. That's what people get confused over. Guys, it's no different than any other debt. If you had a forward mortgage that you owed $100,000 on and you died, the lender would expect that you paid the forward mortgage off. But Ed, I'm dead. Right. So either your heir would facilitate that payment or your estate would facilitate that payment. Right, it says here the heirs have no liability. What that really means in terms of a non-recourse loan is they have no liability if they sell the property and settle up. As an heir, you're not going to have to pay that debt for them if the property is not worth what they borrow. So in other words, if the balance of that loan should exceed the value of the property in a non-recourse scenario like this, the lender can't go after the heirs for the difference. But they would expect that the house be sold to settle it up. The heirs aren't liable for it, but they will settle up with the estate. And because it's an FHA loan, MIP is collected. Mortgage insurance premium is collected. Just like the interest accrues, mortgage insurance premium payments are also added to the balance as the months go on. Now, listen, this is pretty controversial in the sense that people look at it and go, well, you're taking advantage of these older borrowers. They require the older borrowers complete counseling before they go into the loan so that they understand all of their options. And for me, what I would say when I've approached by people that have a conversation with their parents about reverse mortgages, what I usually do is say, look, let's take a look at all of your finances. Is there anything else that we can do right now at this point that we could push off having to pull the equity out of your house? Can we consolidate some debt? Right? Could we sell a car? Could we? Because in my opinion, my personal opinion is once you've started to tap the equity, what else is there to tap, right? That's kind of a last resort. But to some, that's a retirement plan. I own a home that's worth 500 grand. By the time I turn 62, I'll have $480,000 worth of equity in the house. I'm just going to retire and I'm going to pull $1,000 a month out of that equity. That should last me a while. Okay, they don't have to make payments until they sell the house or die. $1,000 a month in equity out of a $500,000 house, it's going to last them a few months, right? They'll probably be okay.